I cannot tell a lie. I did my homework. I wrote out a list, not of 16 miracles, as Rashi says, but the Abarbanel lists 18 miracles. I'm going to go through them. I'm going to go through them. Maybe we'll do that yet. I'll go through them, and then I think we should also see, are there any miracles that are included in the 18 of the Abarbanel that maybe should not be included? The Abarbanel includes the following. And by the way, you have to remember that Elisha appears for the first time, if I'm not mistaken, Elisha appears for the first time in chapter 2 of Malachim Bet. Oh, why are you so nice to me this morning? Okay, all right.
Don't sit next to her.
It's true, all morning. All morning she was saying she didn't do her homework. So I say, at least we will make this brief review, but I do want to continue on further. By the way, does anybody remember where we were up to last week?
Yeah, well,
I think
it was
the end of Chet. In what Perek?
Perek
what?
It was the end of Chet.
Perek Chet, Pasuk? Uh-huh. Okay, all right. All right. Let's go. What were the 18 miracles? I'm just going to go through this quickly so that I will help you do the homework. And I still feel that it's worthwhile. You have to read over the program. If you read over the program, you review. Review is going to make it something that you'll just remember it. You'll remember so much better. You have to keep reviewing Tanakh your whole life. Yes, you wanted to say something?
No, it's just that it's completely.
What? Let's see if it'll be. I will straighten that out for you too. The 16 miracles, or the 18 miracles according to the Abarbanel. One. After Eliyahu is taken heavenward in the chariot of fire with the horses of fire, Elisha catches his coat. What does he do with the coat of Eliyahu? He splits the Jordan and crosses. The splitting of the Yardane is the first miracle that he performs. Second, he crosses the Yardane, he comes to Yericho, and the students of the Nevi'im tell him, the place here that we live is very beautiful, but the water is very bad. And you remember Rashi there, Chain Mako, Rashi brought there the Gemara, Chain Mako Mal Yoshva. The charm of a place sort of is upon the dwellers there, because the question is, if the water isn't good, what are they like living there for? There's something about a place, there's something in a place. Chain shel makom. So what does he do? He takes salt and he pours salt into the water, and the waters become sweet. Two. Three.
What was the name of the place?
That was Yericho. The waters of Yericho.
You wouldn't by any chance love to give us a
husband. I should do that too.
No,
all right. So I said, just turn to chapter in Malachim Bet, chapter 2. So Marsha will give us the verses. Chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 20. That's the second. The first one, is Pasuk Bet, Pasuk Yudalad, Pasuk 14, 2:14, Bet, Perek Bet, Malachim Bet. The first one is Pasuk 14, the second one is Pasuk 21 and 22. The next three psukim tell us the story of the young people who made fun of Elisha, and they said, "Alei kereach, alei kereach, you baldy." They were making fun of the prophet. He cursed them, and out came two bears from the forest and consumed them. And I think that's Psukim 23, 24, and 25 in chapter 2. And the end of chapter... Huh? Especially if the Gemara says, no bears and no forest. And the fact that it came as a result of his curse. By the way, I think that it's... what's important over here is... It is in this miracle of the children. Really, the Gemara says, and we explained that they're not children. They were adults who acted like children, who made fun, who mocked the Navi. This certainly is something in which we see the spirit or the personality of Eliyahu in Elisha. Eliyahu was God's angry man. But Elisha is going to change. As we watch Elisha, we're going to see that he's going to become softer, more moderate. He is going to become concerned about people. But if I'm going to talk about each one of them now, in order to give you the personality of Elisha, we're going to take the whole share on this. I don't want to do that. Let's see. Number four is the story of the three kings. The king of Yehuda, the king of Yisrael, and the king of Edom go out to war against Moab. They go through, they surround the entire land of Moab. And you know what? They find themselves in the middle of the desert, three large armies with no water. Now what's fascinating over here is, not like Eliyahu, I can't help but injecting Elisha's personality here. Elisha, of all things, finds himself out, he's in the desert with the armies. Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, asks, is there a prophet here? And somebody says, yes, you know who's here? Elisha ben Shaphat, who had poured water upon the hands of Eliyahu. What's Elisha doing out in the desert? Out in the desert with the armies. Because Elisha is concerned about Klal Yisrael, and where he's needed, he's going to go. Do you know who Elisha is really going to become like? Shmuel Haramati. Exactly. Shmuel is the one who traveled. The Navi says about him that he traveled from one place to the next. He went, he had a he made a tour of all of Eretz Yisrael every year until he would come back to his home in Ramah. If we watch Elisha, everything is happening someplace else. All the geographic locations of which he finds himself are going to cover the gamut of all of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be everywhere. Elisha doesn't stay home. Where he's needed, that's where he's going to be. And here of all things, he's out there in the desert. And he says to them, so the miracle over there is that no wind, no clouds, no thunder, no lightning, no sound. And the entire area where the army is becomes full of water. Water holes all over. It became full. Gave him. Ah, that was Pasuk. That's Pasuk 15. Yeah. Pasuk 16. Ah, by the way, if we're going to talk about his personality, it's when he is first asked by the kings for water. So he speaks to the king of Israel and he says, go ask the gods of your father and the gods of your mother. Who is the king of Israel? Yehoram ben Ahab, the son of Ahab. Yehoram ben Ahab is going to become important again in the parak that I hope to learn today. So let's keep you. There's Ahab, king of Israel. Yehoram, the son of Ahab. Elisha tells him, go ahead and ask the gods of your father and the gods of your mother. So the king tells him, but listen, there are three large armies here that are in grave danger. He became angry. Because Elisha became angry, the word of God doesn't appear to him, so he calls somebody to play for him, play music, so that the music should calm and soothe him. And then he says, let the river become full of water, and then that's exactly what happens. All right, what's the next one? The next one is the beginning of chapter 4. The wife of Ovadia, who cries out to Elisha that the debtor is coming to take my children away. Who is the debtor? Again, Yehoram ben Ahab, Yehoram the son of Ahab. And so he asks her, do you have anything in the house? Yes, I have a little bit of oil. So he tells her, go get all sorts of pots and pans from all over, bring it into the house, close the door behind you. And then the bracha comes and all of the barrels are full of oil. That's number 5. Number 6, the Isha HaShunamit, the woman of Shunem, who builds for him a little home, a little apartment with a table and a chair and a bed and a lamp. She doesn't have a child. It's because of Elisha. Elisha blesses her and she's given a child. The child dies. Elisha brings the child back to life. That's number 7. So 6 is the fact that she gives birth. Number 7, the child that dies is brought back to life by Elisha. The number 8. Those both were in chapter. Those were both in chapter 4. And then toward the end of chapter 4. There are 2 more miracles at the end of chapter 4. Chapter Dalad. Pasuk Lamed Chet.
Chapter 4.
Yeah. There are going to be 4 miracles in chapter 4. 5 miracles in chapter 4. Let me see if I have the Cheshbon right. Let's do the next. That means Shunem is up around Haifa in the center of the country. And then in Pasuk Lamed Chet it says that in chapter 4, you're following me with the finger?
Yeah.
Elisha Shav HaGilgala. Elisha now returns to Gilgal, one of the places he had been earlier. There was famine in the land. The sons of the prophets put a pot up to cook. Somebody puts in poisonous vegetables into it. Death in the seer. Death in the pot. In Pasuk Mem Aleph, Pasuk 41, Elisha says, take flour, throw it into the pot, and then give it to everybody to eat. They eat, and there was no death in the pot. Pasuk Mem Bet, the last 3 psukim of chapter 4, a man comes with 20 little bilkalach in order to feed 100 prophets. How can you do it? Says Elisha, 10 la'am, give it to them and they will eat, and they're going to eat and they're going to leave over. And what happened was, they ate and they were still left over. That's the end of chapter 4. Chapter 5, of course, is the story of...
What number do you want to do? 10 now?
10. I'm coming to 10. Number 10 is Naaman, who is healed from his tzarat. He tells him to go down into the Jordan 7 times. And as a result of going down into the Jordan 7 times, he comes up and his skin is like that of a child. Number 11, the curse of Gehazi and his children, that the tzarat of Naaman should cleave to them. Should cleave to them. And that, of course, was the... that's the very end of the last pasuk in chapter 5. The last pasuk in chapter 8, pasuk Chavzayim, the tzarat Naaman, Tidbak Becha, the tzarat of Naaman, should cleave to you, Ubizarach Olam, and your children forever. Vayetze Milafon of Mitzorah Kashalah Gehazi, goes out white like snow. Because he had taken from Naaman, it was the terrible Chilul Hashem of having taken money from Naaman. Number 12. Yeah, go ahead. You want to catch up? Oh, okay, good. That's fine. What a way for you to do homework, you understand. So I'm at the end of chapter 5, and we are up to number 11. Ad va'ad bichlal. We've done 11. We're up to number 12. Number 12 is the story that the prophets want to build a Beis HaMedrash. And one of the prophets goes out and he begins to chop wood, and the metal of the axe that he had borrowed goes flying into the Jordan. And he cries out, "But I borrowed it, what am I going to do? I have to return it." Elisha throws in a piece of wood. The wood that should float goes to the bottom, and the metal that should stay at the bottom comes to the top. Number 13. Elisha is with his boy, with his servant, whoever this new servant is. The king of Aram has sent men to capture Elisha. By the way, why is Elisha to be captured? Because he's giving information to the king of Israel. He is the Mossad. He is Rosh Aman. He is telling the king of Israel where the Arameans are lying in wait. Now, by the way, any statement that's made by Elisha as a prophecy is not counted in the miracles. Remember, we don't call Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, or Yechezkel miracle workers because they spoke the word of God. A miracle means, and maybe if we have a few minutes, we'll deal with the Abarbanel defines for us what a miracle is. One of the definitions of a miracle, of course, is something where there is a dramatic change in the nature of things. Certainly, in a number of the miracles of Elisha, what we have is opposites. Two opposites. For example, to sweeten the water, he puts in salt. Salt sweetens the water. These are contradictory. The wood sinks, and the metal rises. But we'll get back to that in a few moments.
Just as it fell into the water.
I believe that it's understood. Certainly the Mepharshim. Certainly the Mepharshim.
Well, it doesn't really matter the fact that the metal rose.
I'm saying a double.
Natural course of things.
But I'm saying two. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that the wood sinks. That's what she's asking.
I understand what she's asking, but as I say, it really doesn't matter the fact that the metal rose.
It doesn't matter in terms of the miracle, but it matters in terms of the Abarbanel, who says that a number of the miracles are two opposites taking place at the same time. That's the point. All right. We were talking about chapter 13. Chapter 6. Miracle number 13. The king of Aram has sent men to arrest Elisha. Where is Elisha? Who said that? Very good. Dothan. Yes, okay. That means you are... He's in Dothan. The army comes to take him there. The boy who is with Elisha is petrified. He's terrified. He's frightened. So it says that Elisha prayed that the boy should see that Rabbi Ma'asher Mi'itanu Mi'asher Itam, there are more with us than there are with them. And all of a sudden the boy sees horses and chariots, an army of fire surrounding him. Number 14. What does Elisha do then with the...
17.
Pasuk 17 in chapter 6. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayitpalel Elisha Vayomar Hashem, Pekachno et Eina V'yide, Vayifkach Hashem et Eina Hanar, Vayar V'hinei Hahor Malei Susim V'rechev Eish, Svivot Elisha. By the way, I don't know if other Mepharshim would count this as one of the miracles. Because I would imagine that a miracle means that the Navi decrees, and that's what happens. Over here he prays to God that God should give the the Nar the ability to see what's taking place. I'm not so certain whether this would be counted. Yeah, so I don't know. We'd have to see what we would count into the miracles.
But
I also... Yes?
This isn't contradictory. You say about Barbanelfos, it has to be contradictory. This isn't contradictory.
I some of them.
Sorry.
The next pasuk yudches vayedo what Naomi. Oh, that's the next miracle. Next miracle that he Elisha prays to God that he should make the Arameans blind, and then he leads them by the nose all the way to Shomron. So that's number 14. Number 15. According to Abarbanel, number 15 is already in the next chapter, in chapter 7. In chapter 7, it tells us.
So here he's also praying then.
You're right, yes. So let's see the 18, and then we'll see what to do with that. In chapter 7, that's already the story of the fact that the city of Shomron was surrounded by the army of Aram, and the four lepers decide that they're going to go throw themselves upon the mercy of the Arameans, and they come there, and they're all gone. So the pasuk had said, now this one I really wonder whether it should be counted. they come in chapter 7, pasuk 6. Why is the camp empty? Because Hashem hishmiet machane Aram, Hashem had let the camp of Aram hear the sound of chariots, the sounds of horses, the sounds of a great army. Vayomru, and they said to one another that the king of Israel has hired mercenaries against us, and they ran. This has nothing to do with Elisha. This certainly has nothing to do with Elisha. This was a miracle that had come directly from God. God had caused the camp of Aram to flee.
But Elisha had said there'd be plenty of food.
That's the next one.
Oh,
I didn't say that one yet. Elisha, that's the beginning of the chapter, and at the end of the chapter, Elisha said that tomorrow in the gate of Shomron, a bushel of chitim will go for one shekel, and two bushels of barley will go for a shekel. That happened. That clearly was the word of that was the word of Elisha. Interesting. The Abarbanel doesn't list this one. How do you like that? Doesn't list the food. You know what he does list? And I know why he doesn't list the food. I believe that he doesn't list the food because the food is Ko Amar Hashem. It's a prophecy. It's not a miracle. But you know what he does list? He does list the fact that the officer of the king is trampled. Because what did Elisha tell him at the beginning of the chapter? You're going to see it, umisham lo tochel, and you're not going to eat from there, and that's exactly what happened to him. So by now, I think our numbers are going to get a little bit confused. Okay.
Already.
That's all right.
I'm still on number 15. I still don't know which part to do. The one where the noise?
We passed the noise. Yes, we did the noise already.
So I
said the noise. The noise is mentioned by the Abarbanel as one of the miracles. I don't know what that had to do with. With Elisha. Now, at one point, if you mention the noise, the sound of a great army that caused Aram to flee, then you should also mention the fact that there's a tremendous amount of food. Except, you know, I take it all back. I don't think you can mention the food. You know why you can't mention the food?
Not a change in nature.
Not a change in nature. The food was there. It was out in the camp, and they left it. Out. That's it. And I think that's why we have to know what the definition of a miracle is. The food can't be counted as a miracle because there's no miracle. It's simply a matter that the food that was out in the camp is now in the city. That's all. So he said, Kohaman Hashem, so says God. Prophecy, yes. Miracle, no. Prophecy, yes. Miracle, no. Yes. No, because he cursed him. He says, you're going to see it, umisham lo tochel, and you're not going to eat from it. By the way, what did you just say? There is no change of nature here, by the way. That's what you just said? No, no, that, Masha, that's right. That's what you just said. Good. I had a, what did I have, Bela? I just had a senior moment. I was listening to her, but I didn't hear her.
That's what you call it. I like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
A husband moment.
I like that. Did you make it up? Okay?
No, no, they say that that's the latest, the in thing in America. So we've been using it around the house all day, you know, because we haven't seen your half an hour's senior hour.
Senior day.
Yeah, but wait, now I forgot what we were talking about. Which one were we talking about? The officer, there is no change of nature. All that he's doing is, he is prophesying that it's going to be. There was a mad rush of people, and he's trampled to death. Anybody would be trampled to death in a mad rush of people. Yeah, the only thing is, you see, I have to watch myself. Because I soon might not have 16. But the Abarbanel does count it as one of the miracles.
Well, it may be a miracle that only one person died.
Oh, that's also okay. Now there is one that the Abarbanel, another one that he mentions, his number 17, the famine that was in the land for 7 years. I don't believe it. We're in chapter 8. Now you see? No, wait.
The death of the officer was 16.
The death of the officer was 16, correct, Dina. Number 17, the Abarbanel says number 17, and this one I don't understand. This is the one of them that I really don't understand. At the beginning of chapter 8, it says that Elisha told the woman from Shunem, whose child he had brought back to life, he told her, there's going to be a famine, and the famine is already here, and it's going to be here for 7 years. Go live wherever you want to live. Says the Abarbanel, the famine, and he seems to imply that the famine was caused by Elisha. But that's not what it said in the pasuk. The pasuk says, first pasuk in chapter 8, Elisha diber el ha'isha asher hechayad b'nolema. Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had brought back to life. Kumi ulchi atu beitech v'guri v'asher v'guri. Get up and go and live where you wish to live. Ki kara Hashem l'ra'av. Because God has called a famine. V'gambol ha'aretz sheva shonim. And it has come to the land for 7 years. It doesn't seem that there's an act of Elisha here involved. It's not Elisha. Right, it's a prophecy. It's not Elisha who caused this, but the Abarbanel counts that as 17. Number 18 is another one that this we're going to come to in another few chapters. There's going to be another reference to Elisha later on. The reference is going to be that they're in the middle of burying somebody, and as they're burying this person, his body touches the bones of Elisha, and he comes back to life, and he goes walking out of the cemetery. That's a pretty scary thing. But we're going to come to that. That's, I think, chapter 13.
You said that the famine would not necessarily
have been the Shunammite.
He would have been eligible, thus avoiding the famine. However, since he had
directed him, he was unable to prevent it. Which means, therefore, you're agreeing with me. That means he didn't bring it. By the way, that Gemara in Sanhedrin also appears in Tainis, Daf Beis Amid Aleph down at the bottom, going on to Beis Amid Beis. That was just.
We know what it was.
You know what it was, okay.
Yeah,
we knew. Yeah. It was a non-senior moment. Exactly what I was trying to say. That was a non-senior moment. A piece of Gemara that I learned 40 years ago, I can tell you exactly where it was. What I learned, yes, what I learned yesterday. Ask me if I remember what I learned yesterday. All right. Yes. This is Elisha. The Gemara, in fact, in Tainus talks about Eliyahu. That Eliyahu was given the Machteach Vivikos in Gemara. Tainus Gemara is talking about rain. And rain is the key of Parnassa. And that was given to Eliyahu.
Well, that's
not correct. No. Not, never more than one at a time, and never to anybody, any one of them, until the days of Elisha and Eliyahu. Until Eliyahu and Elisha, these were never given over to anybody. Therein lays what was special with Eliyahu and Elisha. All right, we've gone through 18 and possibly 19, but a number of them, 18 is something we're going to learn in a few chapters from now about the person who dies and his bones touch the bones of Elisha and he comes back to life. That also may not be counted by our rabbis because that was not done by Elisha. Elisha is dead. So obviously it wasn't done by so his bones did it. So there's a difference between Elisha doing it or his bones did it. But that's going to be a fascinating story. Okay. So meanwhile, we've reviewed this. I think this was a very nice review. I like this review very much. Now, as... Listen, I take myself very seriously. All right. Now I'm going to get you back into the names. Into the names. Because now they're going to be very fascinating things. So listen, we did the... Let's go back to what we were up to.
Yeah.
In Perikhet. Okay. So let's start again from Pasuk 16. Pasuk 16 begins a new story. 16, Tet Zayin in Perikhet. Ubishnat Kamesh Yoram ben Achav Melech Yisrael V'Yoshafat Melech Yehuda Malach Yehoram ben Yehoshafat Melech Yehuda. In the fifth year of Yoram, the son of Achav, king of Israel, V'Yehoshafat. It was also in the time of Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, became king of Yehuda. It means that Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, became king in the lifetime of his father. So now we have at one and the same time two people with similar names. In order that we should not be confused, the king of Yisrael, the son of Achav, is called Yoram, and the son of Yehoshaphat is called Yehoram. If I wish, I can also say, because at least Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat was not as bad as Yoram ben Achav, so Yehoram, the name of God, Kah, Yud Hey, appears in the name of the king of Yehuda. Ben Shloshim Shtayim Shana Hoya B'Melcho, he was 32 years old when he became king, Yishmol Shana Malach Yerushalayim. For 8 years he was king in Yerushalayim, Vayelech B'derech Malcha Yisrael. He went to the ways of Malchi Yisrael, Kasherosu Beis Achav, as the house of Achav did, Kibat Achav Haitalo Yisha, because the daughter of Achav was his wife, Vayasa Rabbi Eini Hashem, he did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Even Yehoram was not a great tzaddik. V'lo Ova Hashem l'hashchit et Yehuda, but God did not want to destroy Yehuda l'man David Avdo for the sake of his servant David. Kasher Amarlo, as God had said about David, L'teitlo Nir Levanav Kalayonim, that he would give a kingdom to his children for all time. Near either comes from the word near, as we said, there will be a light. There will be a light that will shine. And there are others who say that it comes from plowing. A near is a furrow. In other words, something there that will continue and will remain. In his days, Edom rebelled against Yehuda, and they appointed upon themselves a king. We had learned Malachim Bet began with Moab rebelling against Yisrael. Now it's Edom rebelling against Yehuda. Remember, just 2-3 chapters earlier, Edom, Yisrael, and Yehuda were allies who went out to war together against Moab. Now Edom has broken with Yehuda. Vayavar Yoram Tzaira v'chol ha-rechavimo. Yoram went Tzaira. In other words, he now wants to bring Edom back. He wants to crush Edom because Edom is rebelled. So he goes to Tzaira v'chol ha-rechavimo and all of his chariots are with him. Vayihu kam laila, he got up in the middle of the night. Surprise attack. Vayake et Edom ha-sovevilov. And he smote Edom and that were around him. Now, what happened over here is not so simple to understand. Who got up during the night? Who's attacking whom? It could be read either that the sneak attack is Yoram or the sneak attack is Edom. A preemptive strike by Edom. This is now Yoram Melech. Remember, it's Melech Yehuda. Yehuda. Yeah, but there's no hay. I just said that at the beginning as a possible identification. But once we're talking about him, then we don't need... The only time we need to differentiate with them is when they appear in the same pasuk. Right? I asked that question. That's the question that I asked.
All right. All
right. Vayavar Yoram goes toward Tzair. Tzair, according to some, is another way of saying Seir. Okay. Now what happens? Vayihi hu kam laila. Who got up? The simple meaning is, it's Yoram. Yoram, that's the one we're talking about. He was the one in the pasuk. Good, good. Now listen, I'm getting you involved in understanding the pasuk. The simple meaning is that he got up during the night, vayake et Edom, and he smote Edom, hasovev elav, who surrounded him, ve'et sadeh harechev, vayonas ha'am la'ohalav. That would be Edom. That would be Edom. No, I'm sorry. No, you can't do that. Sorry. The word Am can be used about any people. Am can be used about any people. What you're thinking of is the Ramban and Parshas Peshtalach, B'nei Yisrael and Ha'am. There's nothing to do with here. Nothing to do with it. The Radak brings, the Radak, one of the classic Mepharshim, brings a perish in the name of his father, that Vayuhi Hu Kam Laila is talking about Edom. Edom that surrounded the king of Israel struck, and they were vanquished. I'm just telling you that there are two pshatim in the pasuk. That's all I'm telling you.
I'm trying to follow
Yoram and Yoram. All right, you just take it easy. There are only two possibilities. One possibility is that Yoram makes the sneak attack. So whom does he vanquish? Edom. There's another possibility, the Radak says. The other possibility is that Edom is the one who makes the sneak attack. If Edom makes a sneak attack, who is vanquished? Very good, Yehuda. Okay. Says the says the Radak, this is the beauty of this pshat. There were, this is going to confuse you beyond the there were Edomites who had not rebelled. There were Edomites who still remained part, who remained loyal to Israel, and there are Edomites who rebelled. The ones that they went after, Edom went after the ones who had not rebelled. Isn't that whom you go after first? If we are rising up in rebellion, Liberty, equality, and fraternity. Who did the Jacobins and the rest of them go after? They went after the aristocracy that was with King Louis the 15th and Marie Antoinette. In other words, the first ones that you have to destroy are our own people who are siding with the
enemy.
Do you know who you go after? The collaborators. That's what he's talking about. The Radak says, Vayake, watch how he reads it. Vayake et Edom hasovein elav. Which Edom does he smite? The ones that are still surrounding Yehuda, the ones who are still with Yehuda. In other words, there are Edomites who have remained loyal. And the Edomites who've remained loyal to Yehuda are the ones that have to be smitten. And they are. Once they are smitten, then what does the next pasuk say? Vayifsha Edom mitachat yad Yehuda. There is no Edom left now. Who remains loyal to Yehuda? Now it's all of Edom have rebelled against the hand of Yehuda. Ad hayom hazeh, until this day. Oz tivsha livna be'etahi. Here there's a great deal said in the Mepharshim. Who's Livna? What's Livna? What's Livna? Livna is a city in Yehuda. It's a city in Yehuda. Now there are those who say that there were even Jews, a group of Jews who had rebelled against the king. Do you know what we're getting a feeling of now? Yehuda! Jews in Yehuda who rebelled against their own king. We're getting a feeling of the cracks in the armor, chinks in the armor of the might of Yehuda. The might of Yehuda, for all intents and purposes, remained nearly inviolate through the days of Yehoshaphat. We are now in the days of the son of Yehoshaphat. And what's going to happen now is there is going to be a steady decline and deterioration that is going to end with Churban Bayit Rishon. It's going to take another 150 years, but there are already chinks in the armor. There are going to be a few moments at which Israel is going to rise again, but the overall graph, in other words, if you will chart a line on the graph, it's going to start from this point, from this pasuk on, it goes down. There are moments at which the graph will rise, only to go down again, and ultimately it's going to end with Churban HaBayit. That's what's happening. Yes. That's why, even though Yehoram was evil and should have been destroyed, but God didn't want to do it. But then what we're going to have to see are the prophecies of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel as things get worse. So therefore, even that promise is going to have to be modified. In what way is it going to be modified? That even after Churban Bayit Sheni, remember the question that you're asking, and what am I going to do once, what are you going to do when there's Churban HaBayit? And there is no kingdom left by Klal, what are you going to do then? Obviously, Lo Ova, what was the pasuk? Did you see pasuk 19? God didn't want to. But what happens when he has no choice? There is no Malchus anymore. And what's going to happen during the time of Bayit Sheni? So the Chashmonoim are going to become Malachim. And the Chashmonoim were Kohanim. It means as long as it's still possible to retain some form of Malchut in the hands of David, the family, he's going to do it. All right, I take the word back. I apologize. That's not what I meant. When they had deserved destruction and there couldn't be a kingdom anymore, so that if there's no kingdom, there's no king from the house of David. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara says that in other areas of leadership, the house of David still retained an ascendant hand. Hillel and all the presidents of the Sanhedrin that came after Hillel, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel the third, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hillel the younger, all of them were direct descendants of the house of David. which means while there was no kingdom, or there was no kingdom of the house of David, but the most significant positions of leadership in the Jewish community were in hands of the Davidic line. Just as the Gemara says that the exilark in Babel, the head, the Reish Galuta, the head of the Golah, always from the house of David. Yes? Very well be, yes, if they were, they retained the, they were aristocracy. They were aristocracy. And yes, maybe very well that the people wanted, they saw in the head of the exile some kind of a remnant of the house of David, yes. Always means till the time of the writing of the Sefer. Ad Hayom Hazen means until the time that the Sefer was written. It does not mean Ad Hayom Hazen until today. Always means until the time. Now, Rashi. Yeah, what's the exception? Yeah.
Arbe. That they never would become a great nation.
Does it say Arayom Azeh there? Okay. Now, Oz Tishal Liv Novei Sahi. You have my Rashi here? Where's that passage? Tishal Liv Novei. Let me just read the words of Rashi. Rashi says, Mordu Yoshvei Livna Umordu Bamelech. Ve'en yodea me'ezo umahoyo shaharei livna me'eretz Yisraeli ve'omer ani shahayu mishevet Yehuda umordu b'melech. Let me translate the Rashi. Rashi says, first of all, it's always fascinating when you come to a Rashi where Rashi says, I don't know. I love a Rashi that says, 72 times in Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, I think that Rashi says, I don't know the meaning of such and such. Of course, that those 72 times are the times that everybody wants to figure out what is the real meaning. Right, if I go into that, like, that doesn't take...
Why did he...
It's right for him to say it. All right, good. Anyway, he says, the people of Livna rebelled against the king. And he says, wait a minute, he says, I don't know who they were. And therefore, Rashi says a theory that these were people, Jews from Yehuda, who rebelled against the king. So I'm saying, on the basis of this, that we find now the beginning of the deterioration, because both from without and within, there are chinks in the armor of the house of David. That's all I was saying. And that this is going to, this deterioration... Yes?
Well, let me get this clear. When they keep talking about Yoram, are they talking about Yehoram?
There are two kings.
Right.
The two kings have the same name. When they appear in one pasuk, the pasuk differentiates between the two of them. Otherwise, it could be one Yoram or the other Yoram. Except, and we're talking about Edom, it has to be Yoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda. In other words, by the context, we know which Yoram we're talking about. Yes, Marsha.
One of the commentaries says that the doctor said it was from Edom, but located near Yehuda, or on the border of Yehuda.
That's another shot.
But this little map says that it's between...
It's in the middle.
Green and Edom.
Absolutely. Livna, according to our... Emma? You're going to fail the call. Yeah, but you're going to fail. Livna, according to many, is in the Lachish area. If it's in the Lachish area, then it's smack in the middle of Yehuda. Therefore, Rashi says that it was people from Yehuda who rebelled. There are others who say that Livna was a place near the border of Edom. And in other words, it means that a city on the border went with Edom. Vaita. And all of the rest of the things of Yoram and everything that he did are written in the book of Divrei Hayom in the Chronicles of the Kings of Yehuda. And I have the Soramos probably wants me to tell you everything that it says there. I'm not going to tell you that this week. You'll get it next week, because there are things that I said over there that are unbelievable. Vayishkav Yoram Amavotav Vayikovir Amavotav Biyodav Vayim Lachachaz Yobin Otakav. Yoram, what's interesting is that he is at least given the normal kind of pasuk that describes the passing of a king and the torch being given over to the next king. Vayishkav Yoram Imavotav, he lay with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in the year David. This is not going to happen to everybody, and you're going to see that. Vayimlach Achazio b'no Tartov, Achazio's son rules in his place. Bishnash Demes Reishonah, Liyoram ben Achav Melech Yisrael, in the 12th year of Yoram, the son of Achav, king of Yehuda, in 12th year of his reign, Malach Achazio ben Yehoram Melech Yehuda. Achazio becomes king of Yehuda. Then Ezra, 22 years. He was 22 years old when he assumed the throne. Rishona Achat Malach Yerushalayim, and he ruled for 1 year in Yerushalayim. Vishem Imo, and his mother's name was Ataliahu. This is important. His mother's name was Ataliahu, but Omri Melech Yisrael, who was the daughter of Omri, the king of Israel. The fact is that she was the granddaughter of Omri, the king of Israel, according to some. Let's see, Ataliahu. Now, for sure, she, Ataliahu was the daughter of Achav. Now, get this straight. Bela, just look at me. Don't look in this far. The kings of Israel that we have to know at this point are Omri. Omri's son is Achav. Achav marries Izebel. Their daughter is Ataliahu. Yehoshaphat is the king of Yehuda, while Achav is the king of Israel. Yehoshaphat marries the daughter of Achav. Yehoram marries the daughter. I can get confused too. Watch. You're going to see the next few psukim I'm going to explain. Watch. I'll give you a family trees also. There were two marriages from the house of Yehuda with the house of Israel. Yehoshaphat married into the family, and his son Yehoram married into the family. Yehoshaphat married the sister of Achav, and he was meshadach zich with Achav's daughter for his son Yehoram. Yehoshaphat's son is Yehoram. Yehoram marries Ataliahu. Yehoram just now died. Who now becomes king? The son of Yehoram and Ataliahu is Yehoachaz, or Achaz Yahu. Okay? In Yehuda.
That's why it's so confusing, because
Yehoram. Yehoram, king of Yehuda, had married Ataliahu, the daughter of Achav and Izebel. Their son was Achazyahu. Achazyahu now, after the death of his father, Achazyahu becomes king. He lasts only 1 year. It's terribly important to know that his mother's name is Ataliahu, because she's going to become queen soon. She's going to take over. It's important to know this, because we're going to see this in another context right away. Vayelech b'derech beis Achav. Achazio went in the ways of the house of Achav, and he did that which was evil in the eyes of God, as the house of Achav. Kichatan beit Achav, who? Kichatan beit Achav, who? Who is Katan beit Achav? Not Achazio. His father was the Chatan beit Achav. So the Mefarshim say that the word Chatan over here tells us, because of the chitun, because of the intermarriages between the house of Yehuda and the house of Achav, you ended up with an Achazyahu. Who are the ones that married into the house of Achav? Yehoshaphat married Achav's sister. Yehoram, his son, married the daughter, Ataliyahu, the daughter of Ahab and Izebel. So that means we brought in two women from the house of Ahab, which means that there was a relationship between the house of Ahab and the house of Yehoshaphat. And you know what? You could see that the son, Yehoram, what he looked like, and you can see what Ahaziyahu the Enoch looked like. Because Chassan Beis Ahab, who does not mean that Ahaziyahu was a son-in-law of the house of Ahab, Ki Chatan Beit Ahav is his father. Yehoram was a son-in-law of the house of Ahav. So why does it say over here that he was Chatan Beit Ahav? Because of Chitun, because of their marriages with the house of Ahav, the house of Yehuda was in shambles. Vayelech et Yehoram ben Ahav lamulchama im Chazoel melech Aram ben Ramad Gilo. Ahaziyahu, remember, Ahaziyahu is only going to last as king for 1 year. What happens in that 1 year? He went with Yoram, the son of Ahav, to war against Hazael, the king of Aram. Do we know who Hazael is? Of course we know who Hazael is. Didn't Elisha go to Damascus? Ben-Hadad, remember we learned that last week? Got a Chazal all the time. Ben-Hadad was sick. Elisha happened to be in Damascus, right? Ben-Hadad sends to find out from Elisha, will I live from this... Will I recover from this illness? Hazael goes to see him. What does Hazael find out from Elisha? That Ben-Hadad is going to die. Hazael is going to become king. Hazael has become king. And do you know what Hazael is doing? He's already attacking Israel. The same Hazael whom Elisha cried. Remember, Elisha controlled himself. And then he burst out crying because he says, I see what you're going to do to the house of Israel. You're going to crush their children. You're going to break open the bellies of the pregnant women. And what did Hazael say? Am I a dog? Am I a dog to do something of that sort? But Elisha saw exactly what was going to happen. So now it's Hazael who comes, and where is he waging war? Ramoth Gilad. Where else was Ramoth Gilad important? That's where Ahav and Yehoshaphat went out to war against Ben-Hadad. Where was Ahav struck down in battle? In the battle of Ramoth Gilad. That means the struggle between Aram and Yisrael was over Gilad. Gilad is between the two countries, between Syria and Eretz Yisrael. You had the Golan and Eber HaYarden. That's where Ramoth Gilad is. There's another battle over Ramoth Gilad now. And who joins in battle over here? Who goes with Yoram, the son of Ahab, just like the grandfather Yehoshaphat went with Ahav? Now, who goes with Yoram, the son of Ahav, against in Chazoel Melech? He's waging war. In other words, Vayelech et Yoram. Who went with Yoram ben Ahav? Ahazio, the king of Ahazio, the son of Yoram, joins Yoram, the king of Israel, against Chazoel, king of Aram, Ramot Gilad. Vayaku Aramim et Yoram, the Aramim smote Yoram. Yoram too, Yoram was also struck in battle as his grandfather was, in the same battle, in the same place. Except that he didn't die in his chariot. That day on which a man shot an arrow and it killed Ahav. This is his grandson in the battle of Ramoth Gilad. Vayoshav Yoram Melech Litrati B'Yisrael. Yoram the king went to recuperate in Yisrael min hamakim asher yakuhu aramim baramah, from the wound that he had received from the aramim who smote him in Ramah. V'hi lachamo, when he waged war with Hazoel the king of Aram. V'achazio ben Yehoram Melech Yehuda yorad lirot et Yoram ben Achav B'Yisrael kicholehu. What happens now is they've taken him back from the front lines. They took him from Ramoth Gilad, which is on the other side of the Jordan. They brought him to the Yisrael in order that he should recuperate. And who comes to visit him? Ahaziyahu, the king of Yehuda, comes to visit Yoram ben Ahav, the king of Yisrael. They're related. The Mishpuch is his uncle. Yoram ben Ahav is his uncle. Ve'elisha Hanavi. Elisha Hanavi. Korole echad min bnei anavim. Elisha the prophet. By the way, one of the things that I have stressed a number of times is going to come up in such rapid succession over here. The past perfect. that Elisha Hanavi had called one of the sons of the Nevi'im. Did you hear that? You're right. You said I'm right. That's okay. Okay. That's right. Elisha, come on. Let's go. And Elisha the Navi had called one of the sons of the Nevi'im. By Yomala, when he told him, Chankor Matnecho, gird your loins. Take this jar of oil in your hands. Velech Ramot Gilad, go to Ramot Gilad. Watch what's happening over here. Uvot Hashama, you will come there. Ure'esham Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. This is going to confuse you completely, because this Yehoshaphat has nothing to do with the king of Yehuda. This is another fellow by the name of Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. And most probably he's called ben Nimshi, so you should know that he's not ben Yehu. It's a different one. Yehu, go there to Ramot Gilad. You have to understand the scene now. The king, who had been at the head of the forces, has been removed from the front lines. He's now in Israel recuperating. Who is running the battle? Who's now besieging Ramot Gilad? Who's waging war with Aram? It's Yehu ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi. He is the commander who's now in place of the king. So now Elisha says to to one of the sons of the prophets, I'll let you in on the secret. It's Yonah ben Amittai. This is Yonah. He tells Yonah to go to Ramot Gilad with the oil and Uvata, you should come, v'hakim moto mitochechov, get him to stand up from amidst his brothers, take him out. V'heveto tocheda v'chodah, bring him into a room within a room. Take it, meaning, that's something that means in private. V'lokachta pachashem v'yapsakta roshi, you should take the oil and pour it on his head. Isn't the word yitzika? This must be the 10th time it comes by Elisha. Asher Yatzak Mayim, the one who had poured water over the hands of Eliyahu. Yatzak Arosha V'Yamartin, you should say, Kol Hashem, so says God, V'shachticho L'melech Yisrael, I have anointed you as a king over Israel. Don't anybody ask me why it says El instead of Al. This is one of the places where El and Al are all the same. U'fatachta Hadelet, open the door. V'nasta, you should flee. V'lo techakeh, run, don't wait a moment. V'yelech Hanar, the boy went, Hanar Hanavi. I don't know, the Mepharshim say Hanar Hanavi, the boy of the prophet. I have a feeling Hanar Hanavi, this is a boy who is a prophet.
You could say the young prophet.
But I'm saying that he is a prophet, because this is Yonah ben Amittai. He went to Ramot Gilad, Bayavo, and he came, V'hinei Sori Achayel Yoshim. The officers are sitting. There was a meeting of the officer corps, the central command, Vayomer, and he said, Dovor li elecho hasar, I have a word to say to you. By the way, how does some stranger just go walking into the command post of the Dubinach? You understand, Dubinach? There aren't guys with little things sticking out of their ears surrounding the whole complex. This was a rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question. So it says, Davali Alecha, Vayome Yehu, Yehu said, El Mimi Kulanu, to which one do you want to speak? Which of all of us? Vayome, he said, Elecha Asar, to you. Vayakam, I don't know, now as I'm saying it, I wonder why didn't he say immediately, I want to speak to Yehu, I want to speak to you. He said something that was not clearly understood. Dover li elecha hasar. So that Yehu has to ask him, which one of us? So he says, elecha to you, hasar. Why couldn't he have said it right away?
I didn't want everybody to hear.
He's not supposed to let anybody hear. The Navi told him that he's supposed to take him into a private room. No, I'm not ready to say that it's because he's a Nar.
No.
You know why? Because over here there's only one Hasar. That's the point that he wants to make. If I ask for the Sar, I mean the top man. And you're the top man. That's the remez that he's making over here. It's not because he, Yonah ben, well, inexperienced. I'll show you right away how inexperienced he is. Remember, I asked the rhetorical question, how does he get in there in the first place? Anybody can go walking up? Vayakam, he got up, vayavo, abaita, he came into the private house, vayitzok Hashem al-Rosh, and he poured the oil on his head, vayomalo, and he said, Komar Hashem al-Kei, so says the God of Israel, Mishachtich al-Melech, El-Am Hashem el-Yisrael, I have anointed you the king. Don't ask me why it says El instead of Al. El-Am Hashem el-Yisrael, they're interchangeable. Vehikitat beit Achav Adonai, you should smite the house of Achav, your master. Yehu is the commander-in-chief of the forces of the house of Achav, who at present is the king of that house. Achav is dead, but it's Yoram ben Achav. V'nikamti, God says, I will re-avenge d'mei avodai hanavim, the blood of my servants, the prophets, u'd'mei kol avdei Hashem liyad Yizevel, and the blood of all of the servants of God from the hands of Yizevel. Yizevel is still alive. Va'avad kol beit Achav, the entire house of Achav will be destroyed, v'hichrati li'achav, and I will destroy from Achav mashtin bekir. Number of pshatim, what mashtin bekir means. Give me a dog, one that urinates against a wall, or all males. All, that's the second pshat I just said, all males. Alright? Now, va'otzor va'ozov b'Yisrael, otzor means all wealth that is with indoors, and ozov means all wealth that is outdoors. It means, outdoors means cattle and sheep and who knows what. And indoors, all wealth of Israel is going to be destroyed. The natati at Beit Achav, and I'm going to make the house of Achav to Beit Yerovam ben Avot like the house of Yerovam ben Avot, or to Beit Basha ben Achia like the house of Basha ben Achia. You may have forgotten who Basha ben Achia was, but I'll tell you later who Basha ben Achia was. That the Zevel, do you hear how much this fellow is saying to Yehu ben Nimshi, ben Yehoshaphat ben Nimshi, that the Zevel Yochu Aklovim Bechelik Yisrael Vein Kover, the dogs are going to eat Izevel in the piece of land of Yisrael. What piece of land in Yisrael? You know what piece of land in Yisrael? One of two. Either the vineyard of Naboth HaYisraeli or the piece of land upon which he was stoned to death. It's going to be Mida Kneged Mida in the same place where she committed her terrible crimes. That's where she's going to be destroyed. Yes?
Elisha tells him to pour the oil on his head. Yeah. Period.
Now, obviously, okay, I'll do one of two things.
Either he did it on his own.
Either he did it on his own, or what's not told one place, very often the Navi works on the by klal uprat. In other words, he says, you go anoint him. And understood that the Navi told him everything else that he's supposed to say. Or, it may very well be, yes, that's why he is Hanar Hanavi. Hanar Hanavi. He's a prophet in his own right. I feel that all of this was said to him by Elisha. Ve'en kover, nobody's going to bury her. Vayiftach hadelet, he opened the door and he ran. Let me just finish. Ve'yehu yotza elav ze'adonav. Yehu went out of the room to the servants of his master. Vayomalo. They all said to him, singular, meaning all of them, Hashalom, is everything okay? Madua boha meshuga hazeh ilecha. Why did this meshuga come to you? So he said to them, you know the man and his talk. What do we see from this? They knew, he was not an unknown quantity. He's not an unknown quantity. It's not some kind of a stranger who has made his way into the office of God. When they said to Yehu, Sheker, you're lying. Do you know what they know about this Meshuggah? They know that this Meshuggah is a holy man. This is not just your garden variety Meshuggah. They referred to him as the Meshuggah because the Nevi'im, when prophecy descended upon them, they went into a trance. They looked as though they were Meshuggah. Madu Abaha Meshuggah Hazeh Elecha. So he doesn't want to tell them what transpired, but they know otherwise. That means this Nar Hanavi was a highly respected and feared person. It's not just somebody who's going through the front lines and getting into a meeting of the officer corps. They know him. I know they called him a Meshuggah. So let me ask you, in the next pasuk, when he, at the end of that pasuk, Yehu says to them, you know the man and his talk. Vayomru, and they said, Sheker. They're saying to him, yeah, we know the man and his talk. And you're telling us a lie, because they want to hear what he has to say. Look at what's going to happen. Hakev Nalanu, tell us, Vayomru, and he said, Kazot v'kazot omar elai lemo, this such and such he said to me, so saying, Kol omar Hashem, mishachticho lemelech al Yisrael, I have anointed you as king over Israel. Do they take this Meshuggahness seriously, or don't they take this Meshuggahness seriously? Vayemaru, they hurry. Vayikhu yibigdo, each one took his garment. Vayosimu tachtov, and they placed it down, el gerem hamalot, on the steps. Vayitku b'shofar, they blew the shofar, and they said, Molach Yehu, do you understand this Meshuggahness? Accept his words. Do you know what they're all doing? On the basis of his word, they're rebelling. This is an act of Mered against the king of Israel. All on the basis of the words of this Meshuggahness. Do you know what this Meshuggahness was? They knew this Meshuggahness to be a very, very holy man. Yehu takes every word he says seriously. Not only he takes every word he says seriously, Yehu is going to fulfill every last word. They all take him seriously. And therefore when they talk about him as the Meshuggahness, what they it's a mixture of fear, awe, reverence. Didn't they, a similar word was used by Shaul, because there was something about the Navi. By the way, why do you think the people of Nineveh, an unknown fellow comes into the city and he says, oh, dar boim yom, another 40 days, the Nineveh nepachas. What would they do with somebody who would stand in Times Square and say, oh, dar boim yom, the New York nepachas? They would take him to Bellevue immediately. People, all right, okay. You know what answer I wanted to elicit from you, so give me the answer. Give me the hanor of giving me the answer that I wanted to elicit. And over here, Yonah comes walking into the city of Nineveh, and he says, oh, dar boim yom v'Nineveh nepachas, and from the king down to the lowliest member of the community, a tshuva movement unparalleled. Because this man, Yonah, there is something awe-inspiring and frightening about him. Yonah is not stamina. Do you know what Yonah is going to be? Yonah is going to be, I would say, an Eliyahu plus an Elisha. Yonah, oh, one of my favorite Meshuggahim. Yonah, Hamushuggah Hazeh. Yes, Sarah. I don't introduce your question with something that you're going to blame the question on me. Just ask me the question. Go ahead.
The use of the word zealot appearing.
Felicia,
many times. Number one, zealot, opening and closing.
There was also a door.
With the door. I hear. So I don't know what the.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we're going to go just another few minutes. Vayit kasher Yehu ben Yoshafat ben Nimshi el Yoram. The word vayit kasher means he rebelled. Vayit kasher means a conspiracy. When people become bound with one another. Yehu, in other words, here, his full name, Yehu ben Yoshafat ben Nimshi, conspired against Yoram. V'Yoram hayosh shomer v'Ramot Gilad. Yoram had been guarding Ramot Gilad from Hazael, the king of Aram, who v'chol Yisrael, mipnei Hazael melech Aram. He had been guarding Ramot Gilad because of Hazael melech Aram. And now, because there was an interruption, so we're repeating what happened. By Yoshav Yehoram HaMelech Lisnate to Israel, and Yehoram the king had returned in order to Israel in order to recuperate min hamakam asher yaku aramim, from the smiting that the aramim had smitten him. Behilachamo et Chazoel Melech Aram, when he waged war with Chazoel the king of Aram. Vayomer Yehu, Yehu said, im yesh nafshechem, if you want, al yetzei polit min ha'ir, no refugee or no one can flee from the city, lalechet lagid b'Yisrael, to tell in Israel what's happening. He wants to keep the secret. Now watch. What you have to understand is the following. Why do they all agree to become part of the conspiracy? Number one, And that's why I believe this is all repeated. Everything that was said at the beginning of the chapter is repeated now. Do you know why they agree to become part of the conspiracy? Because the king isn't here. If the king would have been out in the field in Ramoth Gilead, there wouldn't have been that many people who would have been ready to rebel. The king is not there. Number two, the king has been injured. He may recover, he may not recover. And even if he's going to recover, until he recovers, we need, Klal Yisrael needs a leader. So even people who may have been sympathetic to Yoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, are still ready to join with Yehu, and they will explain the fact that they're ready to join the conspiracy because we need leadership. There's a vacuum. The king has been injured. I don't know whether it's Beinani, is his Matzav Yatsim. Do we know what's happening? We don't know what's happening. But right now there is no king. The closest to a king right now is Yehu ben Nimshi. So therefore the Pasuk repeats everything in order so that we should know right now why they are ready to rebel, why there are more people who are ready to join the conspiracy. And furthermore, Yehu says he doesn't want word of this to get out to Yisrael. The city, everybody, the camp is locked down. It's Shetach Tzva'i Sagur. He doesn't want word to get out. And then we're going to watch him next week, how Yehu is going to destroy utterly the house of Ahab. It's too complicated. I'm going to make sure that you will be able to list the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael in your sleep.